movie nerd. Can you dig it? In movie nerds we trust. What do you put your trust in? Your currency, gold, or the knowledge? The people are coming at you right now. Movie nerds that think they know one thing more than you do. Just one more thing, one more thing, one more thing that you do that makes them a nerd. Oh, sweet and sour.
Welcome to In Movie Nerds We Trust, the movie recommendation podcast for nights when you're not quite sure what to watch. I'm your host, Christopher James.
I'm Quincy Staker.
And before we get started, you guys know I'm not only a comedian, but I'm a fan of comedy. So wherever you're at locally, be sure to check out your local comedy venues. But if you're here in Salt Lake City, Utah, July 27th, the Comedy Shed show that's going to be hosted by Kean Clark, featuring Dustin Hagen, Natasha Maurer, and Jason Harvey, also its headliner, Christy Burchell. Also, Dustin Hagen's going to be headlining and hosting a show at Sandy Station August 6th at 8:30 p.m. It's going to be featuring Eileen Dobbins, Jason Harvey, and Nicholas Don Smith. And also, John Mulaney will be at the Downtown Wise Guys August 11th through the 13th. Tickets are $25 for that, and you can find that at wiseguyscomedy.com. Quincy, how are we?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good. Been busy.
Mm-hmm.
As the mic hits me in the nose. Yeah, we missed you last week.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been a month.
No, it feels like it's been a week to me.
Oh, well. Oh, maybe I just miss you more than you miss me. I see.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. What's Quincy been up to?
Not a whole lot. Honestly, my week off was pretty uneventful.
You took a week off?
Well, from the show.
Oh.
Other than that, I just went to work, and that's nothing to report about.
You saw Batman Killing Joke.
I did last night.
Yeah? You were saying that was quite enjoyable.
I did. I love, it's one of my favorite graphic novels. It followed along very faithfully to it, other than the first 20 minutes, which I'm sure was just put in to make it an hour long. Because otherwise you just have like a 30-minute movie and nobody wants to pay $11 for that. So
it's the darker of the Batman graphic novels besides mm-hmm. Long Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh man, I'm so excited to see that. Also, this week released a bunch of trailers from Comic-Con, from San Diego
yep.
Comic-Con. Wonder Woman was one that mm-hmm. was out. Doctor Strange, the new King Kong and Skull Island one.
Huh.
There was also the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Little insight to the final season of Teen Wolf on MTV. Whole cavalcade of stuff. Plus, like mm-hmm. a more extended trailer, Suicide Squad.
They released the teaser trailer for Trainspotting 2, which I was really
excited
about.
Oh shit! I didn't even see that.
Yeah, they're making a Trainspotting.
Damn you, IMDb! You didn't even show me that.
I've got it on my page right here.
I don't know, I went to IMDb yesterday and watched a bunch of trailers for it. Oh yeah, see, I didn't even see that. Yesterday was just all the Comic-Con, like,
yeah.
trailers. Mm-hmm. Really, really enjoyed the Wonder Woman trailer. Mm-hmm. Thought that's going to be badass.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange looks great. Really excited for Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you watched that one. But
I didn't.
There's a really great interaction between Bruce Wayne and The Flash, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Cool.
And, of course, they showed a little teaser for the Flash TV show that's going to be coming back in the fall.
I don't watch that one.
You should. It's pretty, pretty awesome.
I don't know. Batman's my favorite superhero, but anybody else in the DC universe I've never really been that into. And probably in terms of, like, which superheroes I like more and which comic books I've read more of, I'm probably Marvel.
Okay.
But Batman is my favorite.
No, I get that. I'm more Marvel myself, but there's some pretty good DC heroes out there. I've
mm-hmm.
actually only gotten more into Flash comic books solely because of that TV show.
Right.
Let's see. Did a couple shows last week.
Uh-huh.
Was a judge on Stephen Reed's Roast Battle show at Kean Clark's Shed.
Mm-hmm.
Fun time. Natasha Maurer ended up winning that one.
Good for her.
It was good. Eileen Dobbins was a judge, as well as Alex Shemeshov.
Nice.
So, they would just face off head-to-head, two at a time. So it was Nicholas Don Smith Natasha Maurer, Aaron Orlovitz, Dustin Hagen, Kean Clark, Jeff Watson, newcomer to the scene, Sam D'Antuono.
Mm-hmm.
D'Antuono, that's his name. Well, nobody can pronounce it, so. And it was pretty awesome. And then I did a show in Ogden with last week's guests.
Nice.
Which was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, small venues at bars, not always the funnest, but this bar actually a lot of fun. It's Big Z's in Ogden. Pretty cool setup. And nice. Then I got this thing, you know, a couple weeks ago. The old tattoo on my forearm.
Very nice.
It turned out really good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's still healing. It sucks. I forgot how long it takes to heal tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Lotion it constantly.
Yep.
I did have a lady on the bus ask me what it was, and I told her it was Chinese for grace.
Mm.
And she believed me, which I got a very good laugh out of. Because it's Kryptonian, Superman's language.
Yeah.
It says savior.
Nice.
Yeah, so I was pretty excited. I've been trying to get this for like 10 years, and I finally took the old plunge and got it.
Mm-hmm.
And Yellow Rose, actually, and Sugar House, give them a shout-out. Artist Cody down there, if you guys are local, Yellow Rose, I asked for Cody. Does fantastic work. You guys can check him out on Facebook or Instagram. But great place, really fun. I also went to go see Ghostbusters that weekend.
How'd you like it?
You know what? I liked it. Good. I liked it a lot.
Good.
I'm kind of sick of all these people bitching about it, though.
Haters gonna hate.
Yeah.
Everybody needs something to bitch about.
Nails. It feels like that's all there is these days. Mm-hmm. It's just people bitching about things instead of enjoying it.
Yep.
I actually went around to work asking people if they wanted to go see it, and just so many people were like, no, it's gonna ruin my childhood.
Get over your childhood. You're like 30.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I'm a, you and the listeners know I'm not a big fan of Melissa McCarthy.
Uh-huh.
I gave her a shot, you know. It was, she laid it on a little thick, but Kate McKinnon was probably my favorite of that. So right after that, I went to Hot Topic and saw a Holtzman Funko Pop. So that now resides on my desk at work with a Manu Ferris Bueller Funko Pop.
Very nice.
Yeah. But I honestly, I'd go see it again.
Cool.
Thought it was good. Post-credit scene, little tamer than I wish it was.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go see it?
I haven't.
Okay. Then hashtag no spoilers.
I don't really care.
You don't really care?
I've heard that it's pretty much the very first one. But
meh, for the most part. For the most part, it is. No spoilers. Oh, shit, okay. I'm getting pointed. As no spoilers. Well, I will not spoil it. But, guys, I'm really excited for our episode. Episode 88, Trickery of the Mind. We're talking about movies that basically kind of fuck with your head a little bit. They got either really odd endings or the plot really fucks with your head a bit. Our guest is not only a returning guest, but one of our favorite guests, Devin Sky.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's been quite a while.
Mm-hmm. It has.
A lot of time and a lot of change.
Yep.
A lot of change.
Agreed.
Yes, indeed.
Like pocket change or change?
Like one of those points in your life where things get a little too real.
Oh, that changed,
yes. Every life decided to do a 180, basically. And
yeah. Turn point.
Yeah. Good old view into a parallel universe, yet it's reality.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I've been kind of like oddly afraid that I'm living multiple parallel realities lately.
I live in a parallel universe every single day.
Okay.
Yes.
Can I buy drugs from you?
Oh, honey, these drugs are the drugs of life.
So, yes.
So, yes, they are around you. Just just wait.
Oh,
okay. Your turn will come.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm scared, but I'm excited, but I'm frightened.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. No, it should be. I also feel like that's alluding to mushrooms.
That just means that you're alive.
I hope so. My biggest fear is to be waking up and I've been in a coma the whole time. Yeah.
Which is the rumored ending of Walking Dead.
Really? Mm-hmm.
That's the rumored ending.
I've never seen Walking Dead.
Oh.
I read the comic book, though.
It did all right. Actually, the first couple seasons were great. The first mm-hmm. season was great, and then yeah. it kind of went down, and then just this past season was actually quite good.
It's that Game of Thrones that I've been Ooh. Told to watch, and Bob's Burgers.
First of all, I'm gonna need to reprimand you for not even watching Game of Thrones as of yet.
Stand in line. There's about 50 people.
Well, you assign one lashing or many to me.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's like the end of Passion of the Christ.
That's a very good show.
That's what
I hear.
It's
a very good show you are not watching.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I'm not watching. Have yet to watch Bob's Burgers. Have yet to watch Community.
You're not missing out on anything with Bob's Burgers.
Hey, now.
Oh, shit. I felt that coming. I felt the coldness shift in the room as soon as you said that.
No, I get it. No, I get it why people wouldn't like Bob's Burgers. I get it.
It's kind of odd and just, I don't know.
That's the way I feel about Family Guy a lot of the time.
Oh, man. Really? New Family Guy is definitely hit and miss.
Yeah.
But season, like, 4 to, like, 9 is great. Gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I love that show.
Spun gold.
I kind of went back and started watching the old episodes of, like, the first two seasons. Kind of did not realize how misogynistic that show was.
Well, Seth MacFarlane is a renowned misogynist.
So. Oh, shit.
But he's renowned now, so yes. In that little pocket of 4 to 9,
yeah.
they're must-watches.
You know what I'm excited about new show-wise is the new season of South Park.
Never
I'm curious.
Really been a South Park fan.
South Park's pretty good. I feel like they have like what 25 seasons.
It's 20th. They're doing their 20th.
Oh, so 20th.
Yeah.
Oh man.
The only reason why I'm excited is because it makes me realize I've been watching that show for 20 years.
20th anniversary. Although yeah. I will say, if you've not yet played the video game The Stick of Truth?
No.
That is a game. That is a lovely game you're not playing.
Look.
It's freaking awesome.
I'm failing so much
it's
today.
It's so great.
Well, besides TV shows and stuff, Devin, tell us and the listeners, what have you been up to? What have you been doing journey-wise?
Oh, yes, yes. Life took a rather sharp, aggressive turn on Thanksgiving when I lost my boyfriend, car accident. So, you know, grieving is a very surreal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of destruction and there's a lot of reconstruction. So I feel like a constant phoenix that burns and regrows. And, you know, I'm doing my best to move forward. You know, it's definitely, I have to take it day by day mm-hmm. to week by week. And I mean, in hindsight of all of it, in the sheer irony of the entire situation is the person I've become is unlike any person I ever thought I could become as far as how I feel about life and the purpose. And I feel so much more empathic genuinely to myself, to others. I feel so much more connected to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a spiritual awakening for sure.
Yeah.
And it was honestly the best experience to ever happen in my life because it's really made life seem very minuscule and the fear of death is no more. And that's a very liberating feeling. And I've never felt more in the moment than I do now in my current life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like, you know, we think we're invincible and we think we have all this time. And when death comes, it really hits you like
mm-hmm.
in the face with reality. To realize that we don't, there could come a time, you know, that phone call you had with your mom could be your last phone call. So it's made me appreciate the moments and the little things a lot more in life and just push to be the best me I can be and just trust that things work out and everything happens for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
So like, with that whole new perspective and kind of outlook on life, how has that been, career-wise? How's that been affecting your career?
Well, actually, profoundly, because, you know, the ability to really understand what it's like to live in the moment and what it's also like to suffer a situation you can't change, and what that really means to cope with something like that has really, as morbid as it is, it's very greatly, you know, opened my eyes and expanded my understanding in my acting career. Mm-hmm. And what it means to be in the moment in a scene, you know, mm-hmm. and to adapt to things we can't change or things we don't know. And, you know, it's also done a great deal for my music career. I actually recently signed a contract with Brio is our band name music project.
Mm, okay.
With Jay Agnello. Just give a shout out to my boy, JJ. Yeah, no, we're, you know, we've already written a couple songs and we have really big plans, so.
Awesome.
Nice.
That's been a great outlet. I have so much more creation and fire and passion inside me that can be better expressed through music as well. I've always been a very lyrical person. Like, whenever I listen to music, it's always about the lyrics for me more so.
Yeah.
Then the issue, it just is, I have to connect. And, you know, that's helped me become a better lyrical artist. And, so anyways, yeah, it's been quite the ride. On lighter subjects, I recently signed with TMG a few months ago.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
I've already done a good few projects with them. I love them. Vicky's great. I've done a commercial for Glock, a new gun company.
Oh, okay.
That was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just came back from working the Champs Counterculture Business-to-Business Trade Show in Vegas with an organic e-liquid manufacturing company out here called J-Juice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I've heard of them.
And, yeah, that was awesome. So I'm kind of still trying to find my bearings. I just got back on Friday. It's been a long weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So things have been busy. You've been kind of, you know, developing different.
You know,
things.
I thought like really honestly, coming home from the hospital, that because it's kind of surreal that the first real cold wintry day of the winter was Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of made me feel like my experience would become an exact reflection of the seasons. I felt like I lied dormant in winter and I really kind of went through the shattering process. And then once it became spring, it was kind of still a little difficult. And then after going to EDC last month in Vegas, that was like the representation of the true beginning of summer for me. And it was also a truly amazing experience because I was actually supposed to go with him
mm-hmm.
to EDC. Mm-hmm. I gave his ticket to my brother. It was the best decision that I could have made because he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an amazing time and I just came back understanding a lot more. And so summer has been looking up and I had a feeling it was going to. So I'm really glad that I could finally see some light mm-hmm. in the end of this dark ass tunnel.
Yeah.
So,
well, you mentioned your music earlier too.
Yeah.
Is that like available online anywhere people can check out right now?
So we are still in the, we're still in the studio.
Okay.
We are still compiling our first EP. So we don't have that. We are in the process, but I think we're about halfway, a little more than halfway done. So
nice.
We have a lot of new material that we're about to go over in the next couple weeks. So yeah, I can definitely keep you informed. In fact,
yeah, of course.
Yeah, if you want to no more. I mean, you could just follow me on Facebook or Instagram. I do have an Instagram. It's devin.sky. So super easy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will definitely be on the lookout for that.
Cool.
Love to know when it's released.
I finally am getting better at posting to Instagram because it actually connects to Facebook, which I like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never do that. I never utilize the Facebook Instagram. I just post twice.
I know. Sometimes I have to, because if I can't post it on my public page, like page, I can't repost an Instagram post, which sucks.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I want to post it there, then I have to.
Fucking internet.
I know. Like, why don't they just make it easy and it's like a one button all shit? I mean, come on.
I would like, first century. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd like it if I could, like, once I think of like something witty, it would just post up there for me as opposed to forgetting about it and trying to remember it later.
Yeah.
But no.
I quite agree.
I have to remember it and find a good fucking filter to go with it.
I know. And I swear. Hashtags got kind of out of control there.
Oh yeah,
but
I know that all too well.
I'm getting better at the hashtags. I can think of clever little phrases and like little like representations of what I'm doing in the picture that actually fits pretty well off the top of my head. So
It's sad how fun it is to kind of create a hashtag.
It is, and it also helps build your improvisation because you're like, well, I wonder if I how can I make this more.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna make this
more widespread.
Yeah.
Yes.
I
can I explain this more.
Yeah. I did a hashtag a bit ago called hashtag LeBronfidence. So it's like having the confidence and smugness of LeBron James.
Wow.
LeBronfidence.
Well, that's
not that witty.
I wouldn't even know how to spell that, so I can't really.
LeBron, and
I'm
then
sitting here like L-E-B,
and then Fidence.
Okay.
It's basically taking the con out of confidence and putting LeBron in front of it.
Okay.
LeBronfidence. Okay.
LeBronfidence.
I see.
And then I still use my dreaded hashtag for my comedy. I think it's a virus and it won't go away, but people like it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was depressing. Sorry.
It's okay.
No, I think, you know, it's fun to, you know, once you get kind of in like the whole swing of it, you know, it's, you know, eventually you're hashtagging everything and then
exactly
people start to hate you.
And before we continue, I really just want to take this moment to dedicate my night, of course, to Austin, my lost love. I love him to death. If you hashtag AARIP, you'll see his obituary and some photos that I shared. That's my hashtag for him. So, Austin Atak.
Well, we shall raise our drinks to him, sir.
Yes.
Yes.
To you.
There
good
you
man.
Go.
Very sweet.
Yes.
I didn't get a chance to meet him.
Always and forever.
All right.
Did you meet him, Quincy?
I did. I met him at the Super Bowl party last year.
Oh, that's
right. I remember
because
I was talking to him, and then McClane Drake was drunk off his ass and like fell down right.
And
in
he
front
married
of
his leg.
Yes,
that was a
yes.
What?
That was a joyous.
How do you marry somebody's leg?
Well, when you're McClane and you've drank one too many,
mm-hmm.
and it's Super Bowl night,
you
Austin's leg was chosen.
John McClane from Die Hard.
No, McClane
Drake. Look him up. McClane, you son of a gun.
I do a lot of stuff with him. You'll find him.
We love you, McClane.
Yes,
you're awesome.
We do.
I don't know
that
you,
was
sir.
Very, that was the
but
first
I shall
night
discover
I met
you.
It was very
it was
enjoyable.
The first night. It was entertaining for me. I had to seriously contemplate in that moment sharing my love with him. So I was like, that was a comforting thought. But now it's over.
The leg is still mine.
The leg remains mine, yes. Correct.
That was a good night.
So McClane sounds like an interesting fellow.
He is.
Yeah.
Mm. We have some little gems here in Utah, ironically.
Do. Oddly enough, yeah.
You gotta dig. You gotta dig deep.
I've met some kooky characters, if that's still a phrase people use.
I believe so.
Yeah. I like that word, kooky.
Kooky. It
reminds me of Adam's Family.
Ba-da-da-dum.
One and the same.
Yes.
We should get started.
You've heard one, you've heard them all.
Oh, yeah. People have done that constantly. We'll get started with episode number 88. Our first movie is the 2004 Mindfuck, The Machinist.
Yes.
The drama. What?
Oh, where Christian Bale shows an amazing representation of his method acting skills.
Yeah.
Or cosplaying Calista Flockhart.
Oof.
Yeah. Too soon?
I'm not sure who that is, honestly.
Allie McBeal?
Yes, okay.
She's married to Harrison Ford?
Yes. You just said two names.
Did you ever see The Birdcage with Robin Williams?
Oh, of course.
She's the girl the son is marrying in that.
What about her? How is
she's really skinny. There was, for a long time, speculation that she was anorexic.
Oh, goodness.
It was a bad joke.
She did look rather small in that movie. Good movie, by the way.
I think that's the healthiest I ever saw her.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
She seemed quite petite.
I'm thinking more like Allie McBeal days.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oof. I thought it was funny. I'm sure there's someone out there chuckling.
People who know more about Calista Flockhart probably would have laughed.
What's a better reference? Like a
if you've ever seen the movie Thinner.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
It's like he tried out for Thinner, but he got turned down, and he said, "I'll do The Machinist."
Oh man.
Yeah, this is basically Christian Bale's like go-to after, you know, not getting Thinner.
And in less than a year, managed to bulk right back up for Dark Knight.
Yep. I know, right?
It's called being rich, people.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
And you're doing it wrong.
How actors do it. Right. You look at like...
I think I remember reading in trivia that all he lived on for like the weeks to get down to that weight was a can of tuna fish and an apple a day.
Oh, yeah.
Are you serious?
That was all that he had.
Fuck, I should try that. Man. I mean,
I know, I'm just kind of like,
did he at least add mayonnaise to the tuna?
Probably not.
Like, even light mayonnaise. I mean, it tastes the same, your pants fit better.
Put one piece of bread in the toast. Yeah. I mean, come on.
You need
Now
you
I
need
want
some
a tuna
carb.
Sandwich.
Yeah.
Christian.
I'm sorry, I brought it up.
It's okay. No, it's
Christian
okay.
Bale, you follow the podcast. I've seen you retweet stuff. Get a hold of me and tell us, did you put mayonnaise on the tuna fish?
We
was
really have
bread?
To know. And
was What's
there bread?
The, yeah. Was it a green
and
apple?
Did you have a cheat week? Did you have a cheat day where you actually did use the bread?
Yes.
No, but he probably made love to a pizza after this movie was over.
Oh, yeah.
I have not had a pizza in almost 8 months.
You better be ordering that soon.
No. next year, January 3rd.
All right. It's happening.
Yeah.
Pizza party.
I don't know if I want to go that hard on pizza.
Oh, come on.
I think you want to make love to the pizza. I think that's why you said
it. I don't miss it, though. Christian Bale made love to the pizza.
This is a premonition.
Well, your premonition is wrong, much like the premonition movie with Sandra Bullock.
It probably took Christian Bale a very long time, and if that's the case, he's probably been off pizza much longer than you have been.
Yeah.
I feel like he probably done the whole pizza thing from, like, did you ever see Dodgeball, where he gets caught masturbating with a pizza?
What?
I don't remember that part.
You don't remember that part?
But I do remember
what
movie?
Dodgeball?
Dodgeball where, like, Ben with Ben Stiller?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that was... Maybe they were...
It was a decent movie.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
This movie, it's kind of... it's really fun. You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Memento.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of got that little feel
movie,
to it.
You kind of have to watch it a couple times.
Yeah, this one I feel like I had to watch it like two or three times, but...
Really?
It explains it pretty clearly.
Yeah,
it does explain it, but I feel like sometimes with those type of movies, I have to go back and revisit them a couple of times to see what I didn't see the first time, to see if I'm able to pick things out more.
That's kind of what I like about those movies is that, you know, we buy a movie and then, you know, honestly, I mean, how many people have seen, you know, the movies they go to the theaters and stuff? I mean, have they really seen that movie more than once?
Mm-hmm.
I have.
I mean... Well, people like you who have a barrage of DVDs.
Barrage.
Quite the barrage. But yeah, you know, I like those psychological thrillers. You go back and you can point out a lot of stuff you couldn't before, and it actually makes you enjoy the movie even more. So it's like the more you're watching it, the more you're actually enjoying it.
Yeah.
That's why
I feel like Game of Thrones is like that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
You want something that's incredibly elaborate and extremely complicated? Watch it.
I already am single and trying to date. I don't need any more complications
Maybe
in my life.
Game of Thrones will find you the love that you desire.
No. The It'll Pokemon Go Singles Night will be.
Oh, Pokemon Go and Singles Night.
Yeah, there's a Pokemon Go. I'm going to try out some Pokemon Go pickup lines.
Speaking of which, did you ever go on a second date with that girl?
Let's not even talk about that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because,
Why do I want to talk about it now?
probably because the way I emphasize not talking about it.
Well, that was your fault, sir.
I don't know how much I can reveal because I got some news last night and this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. It's nothing like that. I'd be a lot happier if that was the case. She listens to the podcast.
Uh-oh.
Oh, goodness gracious.
We didn't say anything bad about her in the slightest.
Hey, we
though.
Love you.
Well, yeah, I kind of want to. Kind of want to say some bad stuff.
Well, what? I'm sorry.
Are we going to take a break from the movie?
We can't go back to the movie. I need to know what happened now. And I can tell by Devin's face that she's just like, I want to know what happened.
Okay.
But if she's listening, you gotta go easy on the girl. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I don't hate her. I'm just kind of irritated of the situation. Mm. I'm still fine being friends with her.
Don't you think you come off kind of whiny?
Yeah.
As long as you know.
Well, you don't know the whole situation, so a big old fuck you to you.
This is also true.
Yes.
This is also true.
So, yes, there's
all
that.
All right, we don't have to talk about
we might as well. Fuck it. People are going to, like, tweet in about it.
Well,
what
let's
happened?
Just spill the fucking beans already.
So, previously on Chris's dating life, dun dun dun.
I do have to say, for those of you who don't remember, he did take her on a very, very cute, fun first date.
Which was?
I'll let you tell it.
I can't remember all of it.
Okay, all right.
I just remember that you guys went for coffee and then you wrote down questions and put them in a cup and they would have to draw a question to answer or to ask
so
the other person.
My go-to is getting coffee. So I decided I need to be more adventurous if I'm getting out in the dating world. So instead of getting coffee, I got an extra cup when we got coffee, walked around. We each put 3 questions in the cup. We asked those questions to each other. Then we went to Barnes & Noble. I said, let's split up. We're each going to get a book that we both love for the other person. I'm going to buy it because I'm a gentleman. We talked about the books. Then we went to go play a people-watching game to where we'd each put traits that we thought we would see with people as we're people-watching and getting to know each other. The loser would have to publicly embarrass themselves. She accidentally said that she beats people off with both hands when she was talking about predators. And then we had a great night, and I went in for the kiss, got the pullback. Boom, confidence gone. And then, let's fast forward. I got ghosted a little bit. Then, we started talking, deciding, hey, we'll be friends, and because she was not ready to date. And, I was totally fine with that. When you're ready to date, maybe we can, go out again. I'm totally fine being friends with a woman. I don't need to date them. Here's one thing you did not know.
Uh-huh. You were holding out on me last time.
Well, this didn't happen until
you weren't here when it happened.
I was already having a shitty day. I went to go see Marc Maron.
Mm-hmm.
Already having a shitty night. Had a bad day at work. Had a bad day leading up to it. I was going to go meet some friends at the comedy show. Kind of got a little ditched. The people hosting that kept letting people go in front of me to sit. And I'm like, are you fucking going to let me have a seat or what? Get there. Then she had me earlier that day help her sell some extra tickets that she had for the show. And then she texted me and said, oh, hey, I decided to come. And I'm like, oh, great. Maybe we'll have someone to sit by. And she's like, well, I'm bringing my ex. He really likes comedy.
Ooh.
And speaking of that, I showed him your comedy. And he thinks you're funny. And we laughed together.
Sir, I believe you've been... Yeah. Friend zone.
It's not over yet. There's more.
Oh dear.
So,
oh no! Please don't go grandma's boy on me.
No. I don't even know what part of that you're referencing.
It's not over yet.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's not over yet. So
great movie.
It is. We need to do that. We haven't done that on the podcast.
Yet. I would love to review that one.
Okay.
We can do like a
that one hits
stoner.
A little too. Whoa! Episode. Yeah.
Ooh.
I can come back for that one.
Yeah. We all get drunk and watch those movies.
Yes.
So she hit me up about going to a comedy show that's coming up in a couple weeks. I said, great, it's a date. And then I got, ha ha, awesome. Okay. So after that, we started texting last night. And I'm like, yeah, she's like, thanks so much for being understanding about the friends thing. And I said, no problem. I'm totally fine with being friends. Hopefully one day maybe we can go out again. And she's like, oh, I've been seeing somebody. Because she told me she wanted to be friends because you know, she's not ready to date. She had some baggage issues with her with her ex. And so I'm like, oh, that's fine. Don't want to, you know, pressure you or anything.
Is the guy sounds her like, ex?
Yeah, the guy she like is dating is her ex.
Sounds like she unpacked that baggage.
Yeah.
Yeah, real quick. Real quick.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But, well, it gets worse.
Friend zoned is not being fun. It's not fun.
Yeah, it's not over. Yeah. She, I was like, oh,
I wouldn't chase that. I think it's over.
Especially after this part.
I think you should tap out, my friend.
Tapped out.
I think that is a dead end.
Tapped out after this part.
I think anybody who
you gotta wait.
Oh, we gotta wait.
There's more.
There's more.
This is why I'm tapping out officially.
Oh, goodness.
Is because she's like, yeah, I told you that I just wanted to be friends. You should have knew I wasn't interested in you. She said it kind of in a mean way. And I was like, oh, well, most people who are adults usually say they're not interested. And then she sent me a text that says, Christopher, I'm not romantically interested in you. I just want to be friends. So I was like, okay, that wasn't that hard, was it? Great.
Well, letting you know that during or before the first date probably would have been helpful.
Oh yeah.
Okay, but
so tapped out.
Let's be honest here.
Oh great, here we go. Can't wait for this.
Body language is so important.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's
language on the date.
I feel like
was
especially
I'm having a great time.
I feel like Utah, you're not going to get the straight answer ever. Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know why. Ghosting is a thing.
It's because everyone is a fake and phony, and they have no balls.
Everyone's
to speak
trying
their
to be
mind.
Too nice.
They're repressed. They're condescending.
Okay.
They have this image of what the romantic relationships are supposed to be like, so they
sure.
I feel like a lot of people in Utah like to leave people like on a leash so
absolutely.
They can pursue other people, but then if that doesn't work out, they
yeah.
have the backup.
You get
plan.
Benched. I felt like yeah. I was getting benched, you know, just in case. I'm a just in caser.
Yeah.
Which happens a lot. But, you know, she's still a nice person. Still totally fine being friends with her.
You can never have too many friends.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm a popular guy from what I tell people. You know.
Yeah. Well, confidence is key.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think I was a little too confident on that date because I kept getting told how great of a date it was. As Quincy emphasized, it was a very cute, fun date. I'll probably try
it
again.
It was a great, well-thought-out date. I was very not like the other mundane humans around here.
I'm a romantic, can I say.
I just want to get in the sack.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. And this is getting way, way too distracted from the machinist. But
is it, though?
A little, yeah.
He does date a prostitute.
Yeah.
He does.
He does have some complicated relationships.
He does have
that's
complicated
true.
Relationships.
With that and the waitress.
She cares about him, but, you know, I mean, let's face it, she fucks other guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Story of my life.
Oof.
You know, I just look at it. I will say this before we move on. I'm not a fan of just hooking up. We've
well,
all
that's
had
because
that.
Because you're not an empty soul.
Well, everybody's had that phase in their life, you know.
I haven't.
That's some. Well, not everybody. I'm sorry. Just when I was younger, it was okay.
Every guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. No.
Every
okay.
guy has had that phase in their
no,
life.
No, girls are no. Yeah. I've definitely girls. I've met a few girls that kind of have that problem too. But I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
The majority of it are men.
Sure.
I apologize.
I'll agree with you on that.
I'm sorry. Not sorry. Hashtag sorry. Not sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hashtag
mainly
truth
because
fact.
They can get away with it without it.
Yeah.
Well, it's like more of like a high five. It's like because you know you they got the
yeah, I hate
the
that.
Libido and the you know
yeah
the peacocking and
peacocking.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in a while. Maybe I should get a hat and try that.
I think you yeah. need a hat.
I don't because I think my hair is hashtag on point today.
Oof. He thinks he has Zac Efron hair.
Hashtag
well, yeah.
hard pass.
Well, I'm not trying to attract you, so
on
hashtag,
the hair.
Well, I'm not having to have my hair attract you. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyways, I like my hair today.
Okay.
Is the point
okay.
I'm trying to say.
To each their own.
I was just saying. Like,
I got
you,
a lot of compliments on.
I did yeah. not say it looked bad.
No,
always.
I'm not saying
you
did.
I don't
you
think
did.
You should try and look like Zac Efron. I think you should. You're the best Christopher James.
Well, this is the best hairstyle I've ever had.
Well, hats off to you, my friend.
Or no hats on, because my hair's too great. Yes. Anyways, the
I'm
point
sorry
I was trying
I brought
to
brought it up. I'm
I no, it's fine. It's okay.
I feel kind of bad. I feel
don't
bad
don't
I
feel bad.
Up,
I'm like immune to bad date situations.
Oh, well, that's good.
I don't get sad yes. about it anymore.
That's good. That's a good way to go through with it.
Yeah, it's it happens.
As you clutch your pillow and cry yourself to sleep.
No. My philosophy has always been, no matter how badly dating is in the present, my future wife will be worth it.
Hey, you gotta get through all the... What was that South Park quote when they were on Chat Roulette? They're like, if you want to find a decent friend, you gotta go through all the dicks first. Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Yep. A lot of dicks before
That's
you find
a good
a
way
garden.
To look at it being an actor as well.
Sure.
Very true.
You got to go through a lot of shitty auditions and shitty projects.
Yeah.
Life, really. I mean,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Law of averages.
Well,
yeah.
The point I was trying to make is I'm not a fan of hooking up. I want a relationship. I got back out there, tried, didn't work.
Well,
but it's not, I'm not going to give up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
It was a Tinder date. What did I expect?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, seeing as how she got back with her ex, she was probably just looking for a little rebound,
something.
Yeah. Do your research, kids. Look these people up online. Get
yes.
to know who they really are.
Yeah.
Facebook stalk them. It's okay in that when
get a
when
friend in the FBI, then
yeah.
you'll know everything.
What if I get an FBI jacket and be like Burt Macklin?
Again. I'm a millennial. I don't understand.
You never seen Parks and Rec?
No.
Oh, sad.
No.
That's a show you should watch.
Mm.
Really? Have you watched Parks and Rec?
I've watched it. It's all right. I'm not as obsessed with it as everybody else in the world
I like
is.
It. Anyways, fuck. God, that was a long distraction. Yeah.
Well, good. That's what this show is about.
It is.
Let's
it is.
Be honest.
It is. But don't feel bad.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
Okay.
It was going to come up on the podcast.
I know.
Eventually.
Well, I felt like you were kind of kept mentioning things that made me think of it. I'm like, oh, I got to ask him how that went. And yeah.
I didn't even realize I was doing that.
Yeah.
Recently or like periodic?
Tonight.
Oh, wow.
You kind of did.
Subconscious leaking out there. Anyways, The Machinist.
It's a great movie. I
yes.
love this. I love the
and
soundtrack.
It's surprisingly not about machines,
mm-hmm.
actually.
Well, yeah, he's a machinist. That's his job.
Right.
But yes. I wonder if people got this and thought, whoa, Christian Bale in like a spin-off Transformers movie.
Hey, Sweet. Man, the fact that you just thought of it that quickly.
Means I'm probably one of those stupid people who would probably believe that's a thing.
Probably.
I think it's pretty good. He's like super sleep deprived. He's hallucinating. He's got all these things that he's trying to figure out what's going on. He's trying to remember things. You've got, you know, the prostitute who's the love interest. You've got the waitress, you know, that he has
kind of
a thing for.
He very clearly is losing his mind.
Oh, yeah.
And you can really see the deterioration throughout the entire film. I really thought he did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
As method acting as he can be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it didn't seem like a gimmick.
It did not. No, there was so much more to it than you would thought, which I love movies like that because they really surprise you.
That's why I like to rewatch movies like this more than once.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then you've got the whole, like, I felt the ending was good. I mean, just to jump ahead, I felt it was
such a reveal.
Interesting twist. Yeah.
It was such a reveal. It was like, oh my God, the whole time.
Because you didn't really see it going in that direction. Like,
no,
like,
you did not.
I feel like had any big production company touched this, they would have had that go in like a completely different
way. Well, you know that, or they would have shown the entire movie in the trailers.
Yep.
Like they do nowadays.
Yeah.
Damn shame. Don't watch trailers. I'm not a fan of trailers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like watching a shitty... half-assed version of a movie where you only see all the good scenes and the main points in the plot.
Well, I wish people could see how stern the look is on your face when you say that. She's serious, ladies and gentlemen.
I speak the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag truth.
Truth
I can't,
fact.
Yeah, I completely
not the
agree.
Cigarettes.
I can't remember what movie it was a trailer, but it was a movie I wanted to see, and then they ended up showing... I swear to God, it was a five-minute trailer, and they showed the entire movie. They showed, major plot twists and everything, and it just really pisses me off.
That could be
set.
Like... one of three movies these days.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Bad Moms is going to be the same.
Mm-hmm. My, I think so, it was... Sorry, don't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine.
I think it was the most recent Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they, the like, Civil War?
All, yeah, they yeah. Showed the entire movie. In fact, and I'm just like, well, don't
yeah,
need to see that.
My dad actually just went and took my little sisters to go see Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. And it showed Miss Peregrine's School for Peculiar Children or whatever. Ooh, that looks
so excited for that.
He saw a trailer and it like showed the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now he knows what happens. He knows what happens in the end. That is saddest day for a major film movie lover.
Well, and it's kind of like just because this was a book and a trilogy and they're going to make the other two movies and a lot of people have read the books, that doesn't mean that you need to give everything away.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like they emphasize too much on the best parts to get people to watch it. And then when you go to watch it...
It's a marketing technique.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's horrible.
I kind of feel like Suicide Squad is going to be the same way.
Yeah.
Oh, they've really, really racked up the trailers for those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I already know what the entire movie now.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
So much hype has been made and like so much... It really reminds me kind of when Batman and Robin came out with Suicide Squad. There was just so much hype. There was so much merchandise coming out that I'm just like, they've got to be doing this and I don't have a lot of faith in the film because I feel like that's what movies do.
There's just some movies that should not have merch. Like,
yeah.
Do you know that like Taco Bell and stuff like kid menu items for Wild Wild West?
It was Burger King.
Burger King.
Yeah,
yes,
I remember. I had some of them.
Will Smith shows his balls and dick in that movie.
Yeah.
And it's about fucking.
That's fairly recent.
Oh
man, that's, you know, Burger King stepping up.
Yeah. I mean, I get the Funko dolls and everything because who doesn't like those? But Hot Topic has an entire fashion line dedicated to Suicide Squad right now.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing going in there sometimes.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
I keep thinking it's a series just because they're building it up so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a little too much.
You know, I just can't stand when an idea or a concept or a creation of a film or whatever, when it becomes a franchise, it just oversaturates the entire... I mean, honestly, that's why I have not yet downloaded the app Pokemon Go. It's just like everything's so oversaturated and overhyped and it kills the entire creation.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how I am. That's probably why I'm still only on level 3 on Pokemon Go, because I got it after all the hype and everyone was talking about how great it was, and I'm just like, this is stupid.
I can't wait to lay down those Pokemon pickup lines at singles night.
You're gonna have
goodness.
Fun.
It's gonna be great. Now, you know, I love Pokemon, and honestly, truth be told, the only reason I have not downloaded it yet is because I'm waiting to play it with my friend. But
all the more reason. Let's get back on track with the Machinist.
Yes.
I really like the deterioration of Christian Bale's character in this movie.
I did too.
You know, as the movie goes along, he's just, you know, he's wasting away. He's getting more sleep deprived. And, I mean, again, jumping back to the ending, it's kind of interesting that the first real sleep he gets is after turning himself into the police about the whole, you know, hit and run incident.
Yeah. Well, because I think that's the whole reason why he's suffering from insomnia in the first place, is that he's just so guilt-ridden and everything over this set.
Yeah, he's like, he mentally blocks it away. He's leaving clues for himself. The whole hangman thing I thought was an interesting take on that.
Yeah.
You know, the whole, like, periodically he's got that post-it note and then eventually it's just killer.
I like that they still made his character personable.
Yeah.
And, like, not like a reclusive dickhead like they do in a lot of other movies, but, like...
No, yeah, they really make you feel for him, and they really, like, let you put yourself in his position, and, like, man, it really sucks. He's just trying to get by, and da-da-da, and then you realize what happened, and you're like, wow. And then you feel bad for him even still, because it's like, you know, that was the biggest mistake he ever made in his life, and it haunted him.
And
it literally,
like,
consumed him.
Yeah, it wasn't that he did it on purpose, but, and he just, like, in a moment of panic, did not make the right decision and just
ran. With the whole rolling.
And I love his interactions
with
the little boy.
Oh, yeah. He really, you could see that he was connected to the innocence that little boy represented, and just.
Yeah.
Because I was watching this before I came over here, and I remember that was a scene that was kind of just like, he's a really personable character. And like, because watching him interact with that kid, I feel like a lot of other movies, they would have made him very distant and standoffish towards
them. Yeah, he'd be like a Scrooge character.
Yeah.
Except doesn't become happy at the end.
In that whole scene where he's with the kid, you know, his purpose is connecting with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, let's go on a ride together and it'll be fun and we'll make this a fun experience for you. Mm-hmm. It's almost like he's trying to give back.
Yeah.
He's trying to redeem
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the kid, you know.
Well, he even has like, you know, he's kind of got some funny moments too when he's like trying on the clothes and he's like, how do I look? And they just fall to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. He was like a chicken bone.
Oh, yeah. It was hard to watch this movie.
It was really hard to watch him.
Which is
some of those scenes, like the scenes where he's like in the shower and the bathtub, it's like he's a carcass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually a little bit
I think he got intense. Down to like 100 pounds or something.
He actually dropped from about 170. He dropped about, from what it says here, the producers of the film claim that Christian Bale dropped from about 173 pounds in weight down to 110 in weight to make this film.
Hmm.
He wanted to drop down to 100, but that they would not let him go below 120 out of the fear that his health would be in too much danger. His 63-pound weight loss is said to be a record for any actor for a movie role.
Does it say the duration of how long it took him?
It doesn't.
Oh, man. That's kind of curious. Because I've been told that how fast you lose weight
mm-hmm.
is significant to your health.
Oh, yeah.
To the long-lasting effects of your health. And so mm-hmm. It's really sparked my curiosity on, and especially, you know, to go from a spike from something so high to something so low, and then back up
mm-hmm.
yeah.
with The Dark Knight.
Well, it's weird. Like I was saying, trying to say earlier, like Chris Evans is like super scrawny, and then all of a sudden he's like fucking buff as shit mm-hmm. for Captain America.
Yeah.
Well, and Christian Bale even did it again for American Hustle. He gained a ton of weight. And not like muscle weight, but like fat.
Shoved out.
He really like, I mean, yeah, I guess when you have a lot of money, you can hire trainers to literally transform your body in any way, shape, or form that you would like.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like Jonah Hill. The guy keeps flip-flopping back and forth from being skinny to fat.
I think that in the time it took for Jonah Hill to become famous, everyone now wants him as this fat, chubby, fun role. Mm-hmm. And he's like, guys, I want to start losing weight now. So I think maybe he feels conflicted of like, well, if I get roles that are being offered to him.
So he's kind of keeping it. He's kind of finding a balance in between the fat and skinny.
Yeah. Kind of finding the in between where he can kind of play a kind of skinny guy or like a kind of fat guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like Seth Rogen's doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like he's been getting more like, you know, losing a lot more weight and still.
No, I know. Like, I feel like he's gone from chubby and, you know, curly hair to like, he's actually gaining some, you know.
Well, and Zach Galifianakis, like, in the early days, he was actually a really in-shape guy, and then he gained a bunch of weight, and that was when his career started to kind of take off, and then he started to lose some, and then I think he's been gaining some back.
He's actually been keeping it off, to be honest. I watched that new show that he did on FX, Baskets, and he was pretty skinny in that, keeping up, which is a great show, by the way. Check that out. Christian Bale actually, oddly enough, claimed that he actually enjoyed losing so much weight, oftentimes finding himself in a euphoric state due to the extreme condition he subjected himself to as well. He was
euphoric state as in almost passing out from starvation. Oh,
yeah. As well, he was able to deal with the very hot July and August temperatures in Barcelona much better than the rest of the crew.
Well, when you're made of skin and organs.
Yeah.
Well, he took up smoking to help him curb his appetite. When he's crash riding, which is the worst.
That's rough. That's like not only can we like kill ourselves, but let's kill ourselves twice as fast.
Yeah, I was gonna say he wasn't really doing a lot of good for his body in any way during this movie.
No, but I wonder if he really learned a lot from that experience, because like I said, when you experience some sort of trauma in your life, some sort of life changing experience, I wonder if that kind of helps you learn more about what it really means to be in that situation.
Yeah.
And how to cope. I think life is about learning how to cope, really.
Mm-hmm.
With things you can't change.
I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the time of 1:30 a.m. is significant throughout the movie.
I think I remember something like that. Because doesn't he, like, wake up at 1:30 or, like, it's 1:30 everywhere he goes? He gets to the, and I know in one scene he gets to the airport and it's 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, this has a nice little reference to Fight Club in the movie.
Yes.
Nobody ever dies from insomnia.
I actually thought about Fight Club when we were talking about insomnia,
mm-hmm.
because he has great insomnia in that film. But I was wondering, because I was thinking he only gets sleep when he cries, which is not when he confesses to his murder.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, I don't know, that movie was great. How exactly does that movie end?
It
bombs anyways, and then what happens?
Well, he ends up, you know, kind of everything kind of comes and reveals itself, and he realizes what he did because he's getting a lot of the flashback and his memories back.
Right.
You know, the body rolled up in the, like, carpet, you know, dumping in the ocean. And then once he's realized what he's done, he goes to the police station to confess.
And they I was meaning the end of Fight Club.
Yeah.
Oh, Fight Club. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, the end of Fight Club is basically, like, he points the gun at his head, saying it's their head, not just his head, it's our head, and then shoots himself to kind of kill Tyler Durden, and he kind of, you know, goes off with...
So it does end just right there, where the buildings go off anyway, and it just ends, like, right there.
Yeah, it kind of fades out to that Pixie song.
Yeah, I guess it does end right there.
And then just a big dick popping up as a nice little homage to... Tyler Durden's fucked up
But
activities.
Was he going crazy because of the insomnia, or was he going crazy because he literally was crazy?
It was the insomnia.
Was it?
Yeah, they emphasize more the insomnia in the book, but it's basically the insomnia.
But when he gets sleep after going to the support groups... Oh, but then he finds a new support group. I see. That's how that movie That's how that movie goes.
Yeah.
Quite. Well, kids, get good sleep. Get your sleep at night.
Oh, yeah. Have you never stayed up for like a few days and just fucks with your brain?
You will hallucinate and you will kill people.
Well, you won't kill people. But...
I love sleep too much to not.
Oh, right?
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
I love my bed. It's my favorite place in my entire house.
Mm-hmm.
That memory foam mattress topper.
Really, I already have enough problems with distortion of reality. I don't need to add more to it with insomnia.
Right. I hear that's like the most intense hallucinations, more than any drug you could ever take.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm not okay with that.
Speaking of intense, our next film, the 2009 Uninvited, which is a great cast, too.
Very beautiful Emily Browning.
Emily Browning, Elizabeth Banks. You've got David Strahan. Ariel Cabell.
She's great as well.
Yeah, really great in this movie, too.
Yeah.
It's an interesting plot, because, you know, much like our next film, which we will not mention, Suspense, kind of has to deal with kind of a mental institution, you know, subplot to it, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm trying to remember what they thought that she had in the mental institution. Or I guess maybe they thought, oh, you're cured. Okay, you're good. And then they, you know, she leaves.
Yeah.
And throughout the movie, you're seeing very, very fragmented pieces of what went down the big night before she ends up in the institution. And, you know, I love how the movie directed the audience and directed the assumptions of what went down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They really were able to, and I actually rewatched this movie to see if at any point in time the dad or the mom talks to the sister, to Ariel's character.
Oh yeah. Cause,
and they don't.
Yeah.
And that was very impressed with that.
I had to do the same thing with
you. Had to do the same thing.
No, with this and Sixth Sense.
Oh my goodness!
Because you watch Sixth Sense, of course, Bruce Willis is a ghost. Oh,
right.
Spoilers.
I still have never seen that.
What?
I just know that now from other movies.
Yeah. But you know, going back and rewatching that because of that aspect, nobody ever interacts with Bruce Willis except for him.
I love it. Isn't that so crazy?
And it's.
But they did it so well.
Yeah. Because you don't notice it the first time you
watch it. Yeah, and she never references to her sister either, or to the fact that her sister is ever talking or anything until the very end.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I thought that was a good job to the writers writers did a great job with that.
Yeah, it's much like all three of these movies that I do enjoy is the build-up and the reveal.
Yes.
This had a really good build-up and reveal to it as well. Because I love that, too. Even the end, when you're going to the mental institution back with her, and then you see the name of, like...
To top it all on the cake, it's the name that they thought they'd still the whole time. She's just been brainwashed.
Yeah.
And well, it says right there, clear as day, in the very beginning of the film, when she walks away, and the lady's like, who will I tell my stories to?
Yeah.
Dun-dun-dun.
I love it, because, you know, one thing that we said before we started recording that I really love about this is, you don't really see Elizabeth Banks in a lot of suspense horror type of movies. Mm-hmm. And she did super well.
She really held her own, I think.
I am a huge fan of her.
I am, too.
She's
great.
Her laugh is just, like, I find probably one of the most adorable laughs. A lot of people don't like it. I find it very cute. And I do like, I think the first movie I legit saw with her was 40-Year-Old Virgin.
I was about to say, her laugh when she plays Beth in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
So funny.
Beth. Andy.
I
won't
so
tell
great.
Anybody unless you want to be told on Beth. I've always wondered if that would work.
But if you want to what? But what? Do it. Do it. What? It's the best drunk scene like ever.
Oh, yeah. There's so many like things in movies back from like 10, 20 years ago that I've always wondered would work, you know, when trying to pick somebody up. Mm-hmm. To where now it's been so long and far apart since they've been released that it's kind of like an appropriate time to try them out.
Yeah.
Like Wedding Crashers. Now I could probably crash a wedding.
That's like a how-to guide in that movie.
They've got rules. I remember when that movie came out, there was a t-shirt full of a list of rules.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I think you got to go find that t-shirt on eBay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I kind of wonder... Now, I mean, you guys are both respectable ladies.
Thanks.
You're welcome. If a guy... Like, we're getting distracted from... Uninvited, but fuck it. If a guy tried the whole, like, ask questions thing from 40-Year-Old Virgin, would it work?
That did not spill. It was already empty.
That was a ghost. Or Quincy's arm.
I think if they're constantly asking questions without really acknowledging what you're saying...
Yeah.
Well, that does kind of backfire in him in that movie, too.
Yeah.
What, are you fucking retarded? You want me to be fucking retarded?
What's the matter with you?
It would probably get old really quickly,
sure.
And eventually just be like, do you have an answer? Or I'd probably have the same reaction that she had.
Yeah.
I think if you know how to be a good listener, and when I say be a good listener, I don't mean wait for your turn to talk. I mean actually listen to what they're saying.
Yeah.
And you have a genuine interest in them and want to genuinely know more about them as people.
Yeah.
Then you could have a conversation with anybody.
True. That is why I'm a good conversationalist.
And that is why if you stay in the moment of the conversation... See, when you work on...
Talk.
Yeah, when you work on being an actor and an actress, it builds your conversational skills because it builds your ability to observe and understand human behavior and why people act the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an overall better understanding of why people do the way what they do and why they are the way that they are.
I kind of, and this is a stupid thing to say, so I apologize for what I'm about to say, but gonna say it. I feel like sometimes it's rough being a guy because we had to invent some of those gimmicks to be a little bit more charming.
Yeah, but at the same time, that's probably because it's really rough to be a girl and we have to put up a lot of dickheads.
I totally agree. It's rough for people. Let's just say that.
I feel like having a sense of humor is very important.
Yeah.
If you know how to joke and tease. It also depends on how well you know the person.
Yeah.
When people would start right into the sarcasm and the arrogance... Well, when they start running the sarcasm, I take it as arrogance because it's like, you know, we're trying to get to know each other.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can get a little too strongly.
I never be sarcastic with a girl until she starts to be sarcastic.
I feel like
wait for that barrier to break.
I feel like when I feel like it's all about connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll find what how you'll get to know. I mean, you know, I guess some people aren't very good at reading people and some people are, but you usually like get to know good. Kind of how a person is within like the first 30 minutes of actually being in front of them person to person, which is why internet dating is not always guaranteed.
Like, I hate it. I hate it so much.
It's because it's deceiving and misleading.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Someone actually can and will have a perfect personality in life over the internet. But then once you get to know them.
Yeah. Sorry. I had something happen over the weekend and it kind of reminded me of that. I actually, because I've been like kind of weaning myself away from internet dating and actually going up to women in person and talking to them. And I went up to a girl and, you know, I was just honest, like, hey, I think you're cute. I'd love to get to know you sometime. Maybe grab coffee or something. And she just did this. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm swiping left on you in real life.
What a bitch.
Whoa. It was sad, but it kind of made me laugh. I walked away. I was like, okay. And then I started chuckling.
Well, there you go. Yeah. There's your honesty, my friend. You want honesty?
I appreciate that a lot
more. Yeah, me too.
Because, I mean, you know...
That is a girl who is not afraid to speak her mind.
Well, yeah.
I think a lot of guys probably would have taken great offense to that.
Yeah, and to their ego.
Yeah.
No, it never bothers me. It actually makes me laugh.
That's good. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think you handled that. I'm glad that you were able to walk away with that with a sense of humor and not really feeling like your confidence was burned. It was kind of good. Yeah. I mean,
I wanted to swipe left on you
it's
in real
life. A
bitch
I could get on board with, I think.
Try it out, lady listeners.
Like I said, she speaks her mind. I like blunt people.
Yeah. I do too. I appreciate bluntness.
I do too.
Instead of the shring along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't try to be nice.
And don't bullshit me.
Yeah.
Because you can tell when someone's bullshitting you anyways. So it's actually more insulting. Because now they're treating you like you're stupid.
Yep. Insulting your intelligence.
Yeah. I had an incident a while back where a guy...
I was in a
group of people and a really nice kid. Don't have anything against him. I'm not attracted to him in any way. And he asked me out in front of a group of people. And I was just like, no thanks. And like... He got really offended by that. And I had a few people in the group who were just like, you could have just said yes just to be nice. And I'm just like, but then I'm stringing him along. And
who
that's
wants
not
to be
fair.
Nice?
That makes me, like, I feel like stringing him along would make me an even
would
more
make you
person.
Yeah, a using bitch.
Yeah,
take me on a date and spend money on me. And I will not ever want to be with you, but I will take your gifts.
Yeah.
Listeners, here's a call to arms and, you know, something to live by. Being nice eventually makes you more of an asshole than being blunt. I would rather have a girl
say... You can be blunt in a nice way.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes the nuts nice ways are
well,
hilarious.
Yeah. That's very true. But it's all about intention.
Mm-hmm. I keep replaying it in my mind. And I wish I could see the look of surprise on my face when she did that. Oh, God. The alcohol helped. I think that's
good.
No, I wasn't drunk. I was just kidding. Do you ever try to get someone's number just to see if you can?
My favorite number pickup line is, hey, I lost my number. Can I have yours?
It's a classic.
Nice.
Yes.
I like that one.
I just try, you know, it was stupid. I met this girl at the show I did on Friday and she was flirting with me while I was on stage and I texted her. I didn't hear back, but it's kind of one of those, like, I just want to see if I still got it, you know? See if I'm still, you know, suave. And I was.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think I've ever been the one to ask for a guy's number, most likely because they've always beat me to the punch.
Okay.
Mainly. I'm not opposed to it in any way, but...
Yeah. Like I said, I'm still going to venture on, but that was the funniest thing. I like being rejected because it reminds me of the character flaws that I may have forgotten. Mm-hmm. I had a girl tell me that once that I look like somebody who still gets excited about Taco Bell. Like, I'm still fat enough to get excited about Taco Bell. And I was like,
hey, Taco Bell is really good, though.
It really is.
I really want to get Taco Bell.
I love Taco Bell breakfast.
Guys. Let's go get Taco Bell after this. Legit.
I agree.
I'm down with that.
It is
Taco
Tuesday
though.
At Del Taco. Boom.
What?
That uninvited, though.
Oh, yes. Shit, yeah. This has turned into like,
this
hey, let's...
more like we should be talking about romantic comedies that know. Deal with dating than...
We'll do an episode of that again, because we've done that so
much. But not before the stoner one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We'll get drunk and talk about those movies. So, yes, back to Uninvited. This has turned into the, like, Christopher James romantic dating
talk. Okay, picture this, though. You know, you were talking about people's exes earlier, you know. Picture you're with this boy and, you know, you move away for a while and you have to split up.
Sure.
You come back, you get with him again. You're like, hey, it's been so long. He's like, I have amazing news for you that will change your life, that it's about the night that you can't seem to remember. You're like, sure, come over after that. And then, you know, you have this great imagination that you're making out with him. And then all of a sudden you feel that his back is breaking under his skin.
I was curious where you were going with that. And then I was like, oh, yes,
it was
the
like,
movie.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm very good at, you know, capturing.
That was very well done.
I thought you meant making creepy hand gestures. Because, yeah.
Whilst making creepy hand gestures.
Whilst. I like that word, whilst.
Yeah. Come to find out that she actually dropped him.
Oh, yeah. That was a fucked up reveal, too.
Man, that's rough.
Because you think
she was, like, saying, don't let go. I mean, how hypnotized was she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've made out with people I've wanted to drop, but metaphorically, not literally.
Well, and when you really think about it, if you really put yourself in that situation, you know, you're holding over, you know, someone that, you know, really hasn't done anything bad to you or harmful to you, that actually cares about you. And you're holding them over a cliff with the intention of dropping them off said cliff. How crazy do you really have to be to actually follow through with that?
The only time to drop somebody off a cliff that you care about is the end of Good Son. When Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, yeah. That movie I haven't seen, but I'm going to nod because, yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, you don't got a lot to kick it.
Watch the Nostalgia Critic review of it.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah. It's hilarious.
I'm going to do that.
Bucket list.
You never really kind of, because it never really alludes to the whole, like, you think she's having visions and stuff
like
that.
They do a really, really good job of really, like, making those visions come to life in your head. And even when she's in the bathtubs talking to her sister and it shows her she's sitting in there by herself and it's like, she never ever addresses her sister, and it's just never. Man, it's just so perfectly placed. Everything in that movie,
even
Elizabeth Banks' attitude towards her mother, they really, really sold her depiction of how Mildred Kemp's character was, and you know the similarity traits and personality, and how they were purely coincidence.
Yeah,
kind of blows my mind, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a variation of clever camera angles and forced perspective helped maintain the illusion that Elizabeth Banks was several inches taller than Emily Browning, who, in reality, is only 2 inches shorter.
Oh, shit.
I love those weird camera angle things.
I feel like they do that a lot with Tom Cruise, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, no, they just have him stand on a soapbox.
Oh, that too.
So
you never see him walk away from scenes, now you know why.
Yeah. this actually was originally intended to be exactly like the original film, A Tale of Two Sisters, that came out in 2003, but it became The Uninvited.
Oh, yeah.
What?
The Tale of Two Sisters. That's a Japanese horror film, isn't
it?
Yeah. Ooh.
But there is an older movie from, like, the 1940s called The Uninvited as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But The Tale of Two Sisters, that sounds really fucking scary.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the, like, Japanese, like, horror movies
are doing
a lot scarier.
Mm-hmm. Oh. They're doing it right, for
Do you know they're doing, actually, The Ring and, like,
The Grudge crossover.
The Grudge crossover, yeah.
Over there.
Wait.
In Japan, they're doing this.
Yeah.
Wait.
Did you just shit your pants?
I just SpongeGuard for a second.
So what the hell is that? It sounds dirty.
SpongeGuard memes? When you find out that Grudge and The Ring are doing a crossover.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where it shows random pictures of SpongeBob as SpongeGar, his caveman counterpart.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
it's
I'm
like
slightly
showing
familiar with
in,
that.
Showing him in odd scenarios and odd pictures photoshopped onto whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doing a very surprised motion.
I'm like, what the fuck?
I saw the trailer for it, and it looks fucking awesome.
There's a trailer.
Yes.
Is it American made or Japanese made?
Japanese made.
You're gonna have to share that trailer.
Yeah, we can watch it after this.
Ooh.
I actually would not mind rewatching it because it's creepy.
Wait.
Yes.
Wait.
I'm waiting.
Does it give things away?
It does not.
Are you sure? Have you seen it?
No.
The Japanese.
Are you sure?
Know what the fuck they're doing.
Is it in subtitles? Or is it in
kind
Japanese?
Kind of ish.
Okay. Okay, well, this is definitely... I cannot wait to see this.
Yeah. I haven't seen a trailer for The Ring 3 yet, but...
Whoa, what?
Yes, that's...
You are blowing Devin's mind right now.
No.
Did I just blow your mind hole?
No.
Yeah, they're doing The Ring 3.
Oh, is it still going to be... what's her name?
Watts?
No.
Oh.
What is her name? Peyton? Late... Layton?
The ghost one? Or?
The little girl that also plays Lilo in Lilo and Stitch. She plays Samara.
I don't know. Probably.
What is her name? Davy Chase.
Yes.
That's her name.
Probably.
She going to be in it?
I hope so.
She's going to... Yeah, she better be.
I will say this. What I like about that trailer... Do you want me to give a
cool part? Wait. There's a Ring 3 trailer?
No, I'm talking about the crossover one.
Oh,
Do you want me to tell you my favorite part, or do you want it to be a surprise?
I want it to be a surprise.
Okay.
Well, I like surprises.
The best kind of a prize is a surprise. I read that on a popsicle stick once.
Such a clever, clever moment.
Yeah, okay.
Moment of wisdom.
We'll get back to it. Because you're going to love it. You will love it.
Oh, man. So, yeah, on the subject of, you know, I mean, the idea of psychotic people that, you know... create scenarios and create hallucinations of people that aren't really there.
Yeah.
To further hide what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were talking about Asian horror remakes earlier. Ariel Cabell's, this is actually her second Asian horror remake. Her first one was Grudge 2.
Oh, did she play the cheerleader?
I think so. I can't remember. I didn't
that
ever see
herself?
That. Probably.
I remember that
one scene
I remember in Grudge 2 and I laughed my ass off in the theater.
So I don't know why this is in here because I don't remember this. The name Rachel Summers is also the name of X-Men character, specifically the future daughter of Cyclops and Phoenix from an alternate timeline.
Because that's Elizabeth Banks' character.
Yeah, that's Elizabeth Banks' character is Rachel Summers.
That's right. I do really like the whole, like, her getting, like, thinking, like, her sister saved her life. And then
there's
the whole, like, what the fuck happened?
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Walking into a mirror and realizing that you were holding the knife.
Yeah, and then the whole Elizabeth Banks character is, like, the reason why you couldn't find anything. Because she was running away from, like, an abusive ex.
I love how they just put that in there.
Yeah.
It's
such
a
great coincidence. Well, we gotta give her some type of a redeeming quality.
Sure.
Because
yeah.
She did have an affair with a man whose wife was on her deathbed.
Yeah. But I love how they made that explanation quite clear, where it's like, oh, she had an abusive boyfriend. It is kind of a cop-out. It's like, oh, well, I'm sure they would have maybe found something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and it kind of makes her character less menacing when you kind of see that reveal.
Yeah, that's definitely true. It makes you kind of care more for the situation, and it makes Emily Browning look a little more deranged.
Mm-hmm.
You know what this movie kind of reminded me of, and I kind of hoped it was a reveal like it, was The Orphanage.
Do you mean The Orphan?
Yes, sorry.
The Orphan was lovely. Lovely movie.
It kind of, like, when I first saw this, I'm like, oh man, I really hope Elizabeth Banks really is fucked up.
I think that The Orphan and Uninvited came out around the same time, actually.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, because I remember seeing them in the theaters around the same time.
And that movie, The Unborn? I don't know if you've ever seen that, but I remember, because I always used to get The Uninvited and The Unborn mixed up.
Huh. I always used to get Let Me In and Let the Right One In mixed up. Yeah. Two different movies.
Oh, yeah, same year. Orphan came out 2009.
Yeah. I remember that. It was good
what
times.
What a fucked up movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ugh. Our final movie... quite fucked up as well, is the 2010 Leonardo DiCaprio vehicle, Shutter Island.
Yes, another fellow psychotic person who lost his mind and decided to create aliases.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the cast of this, though.
Oh, yeah. Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah.
Ooh.
He's a handsome man.
He's great. He's doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Now You See Me and Now You See Me 2?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Now You See Me, but I have not seen Now You See Me 2.
I've only seen parts of Now You See Me 2. I have yet to finish it, but Just, he did so great in that one.
My favorite movie with him is still going to be 13 Going on 30.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. That was a great one for him.
Yeah.
That's actually what I remember him as most of anything else.
Yeah, me too.
His most memorable role, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he's the Hulk. That's kind of cool, too.
He is. I think my favorite is Zodiac.
Oh, yeah.
That one's really good. Yeah. With Robert Downey Jr.
Another great
Iron Man. Oh, shit.
But yeah, Leo, man, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Speaking of superheroes, I am still surprised he's never played a superhero.
Leonardo the Legend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That should be his superhero name.
Mm-hmm.
Should be his life.
Kind of wonder what superhero he could play really well.
I feel like in every movie he plays some sort of a superhero. Yeah.
No, I mean like an actual, like, I kind of feel
like an actual.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's not really anyone that's, I don't know.
Yeah.
We're all nerds.
He's such a versatile actor, though. He could really probably do a good job at any of them.
Yeah, he could at least have a good sporting chance at most of them.
Yeah. If Keanu Reeves was not in Constantine, I feel like he could have filled that role really well.
He could have done Constantine pretty well. Yeah, totally, totally.
He could have been a good Peter Parker instead of Tobey Maguire.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Don't discredit him that way.
Yeah.
I think back in the 90s, they actually considered him for the role of Robin in Batman Forever.
That's true.
Really?
Yeah.
Him and Marlon Wayans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Marlon Wayans could have been Robin in Batman Forever.
I don't know. I wonder
if he could have made a good... Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, Lestat?
Yeah. Mm. If he could have played Tom Cruise's character.
Yeah, that's Lestat.
If they were to remake the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
They're in talks about it, actually, to be perfectly honest. I've been hearing rumors through the grapevines.
I don't mind that, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, there are four other books in that series. Just pick one.
It's true.
Hmm.
He also kills it in Inception.
Yeah.
Where he's also mentally unstable. He plays a very good mentally unstable human being.
Mm-hmm. But he's got a wide range of, like, you know, acting skills. I mean, if you go back to the very beginning of some of the stuff he did, Growing Pains and What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
And then you, like, fast forward to, like, the stuff he's done now with, like, Revenant. You know, Inception.
Oof. Loved that movie.
I still loved him in Titanic.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he did fantastic.
And the fact that he didn't even get nominated for an Oscar for that movie just boggles my
mind. Oh, man, he deserved every single inch of that Oscar.
Yeah, that's why I love how he got a standing ovation at the Oscars. Yeah.
I love how he posted, finally got a fucking Oscar or something like that. Finally won a fucking Oscar. I'm like, yeah, Leo, you take it. It's yours.
Should have won at least five other ones by this point.
He'll start getting them more and more.
He's understood the real... reason, the real definition behind patience being a virtue.
Yeah, the triumph of an amazing actor / underdog.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
I like Leo.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah, him and Mark, I loved their interactions.
Yeah, because the whole, like, you know, they're both, the whole detective thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they're interrogating that guy, which I felt was a good, they're playing off each other in that scene. Which is weird, too. I never really... It kind of always threw me off when Leo was, like, you know, doing the whole pencil thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Because
the guy goes from, like, really cocky to, like, you know, getting squeamish just by him, like, running a pencil over a piece of paper over and over again.
I actually thought of The Aviator just then. Did you see that?
I never saw that one.
That
one's a good one.
Let's go through Leo's regime.
Oh, man. You want to talk about it? A person who really has obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah.
The Aviator is a fantastic.
Wolf of Wall Street.
He should have won that year as well, because that performance was just amazing.
Do you want to know how everything's cyclical and connected?
Sure.
He was a producer on The Orphan.
Oh, holy shit.
He was a producer on The Orphan.
Yeah.
I just had my SpongeGar moment right there.
Django Unchained. Boom. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he played in that.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying that's one that he's really good at.
Gotcha. I thought you meant producers still.
No, we're going down the list.
Django, yeah, he did really, really good.
Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, man.
Gangs of New York.
Yes.
Here's one I saw in theaters and loved. Man in the Iron Mask.
Not seen that one.
You should watch
that. I should.
It's good. It came out like right after Titanic, so when he was at his peak. And that he's really the only reason that movie made as much money as it did.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
Romeo and Juliet. Mm-hmm. Basketball Diaries.
Basketball Diaries is good. This Boy's Life is really good when he's really young, acting next to Robert De Niro.
The Departed.
Yeah.
You a Cop. I love that movie.
I've not seen it.
You never seen The Departed?
I forget.
Blood Diamond's really good. Yeah.
That one is really good. Great Gatsby, I've yet to see.
I've yet to see that as well.
Good old Leo.
He's great. And you know, I just love when you find out and it shows you, like, it shows you that scene where they're together. I love the line in the end where, is it better to live as a monster or to die as a good man? You know?
Yeah. There's so
kind
much
of the
like...
base, kind of the really reveals the true intention of why he did the things that he did in that film.
Mm-hmm. It's like that whole whatchamacallit line that's in a lot of movies, for the greater good, kind of reminds me of that kind of aspect.
Kind of like The Dark Knight. It's like the hero that people deserve, not the hero that people want, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the true villain is the one you never knew.
I thought it was... Bah. I'm referring to Inception, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another great Leo film.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Also, what I love about this is so much, like, did you guys ever, like, with this movie in Inception, did you ever look up the whole, like, explanations to the aliens?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's so many weird ones with this.
It's so funny. People get so nitpicky. They start splitting hairs. Like, well, it kind of moved at the end. It clearly looked like it was still spinning, but then it kind of looked like it was toppling. And then it's like, what? And he didn't really care.
Well, mm-hmm. The same with this movie too. I was looking up, like, before you guys got here, looking up explanations for the ending, because I love some of those.
Yeah,
for Shutter Island, or
just for theories
about how he knew, and kind of like he wanted the lobotomy to kind of help, like, get rid of his mm-hmm. like memories of what he did. That's why he said that whole
which
line.
Is perfectly mm-hmm. understandable.
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean,
that would be a horrific.
It would be
thing
something
to have to
that
live with.
It kind of reminds me of Internal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah,
another movie about memory erasing.
Mm-hmm.
Such a great movie too.
Great movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Michelle Williams in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Love her in this movie. She's not really in it as much, but always thought she was gorgeous.
Totally.
Her career really took off after Brokeback Mountain. Yeah. She's in everything, I swear. Like, especially, like, for the few years after that, I swear to God, she was in every single movie that came out.
She is in one of my favorite off-the-cuff kind of romantic comedies, The Baxter, that was written and directed and starring Michael Showalter.
Huh.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, me neither.
That's good. It's a...
I like how in this movie it's not so much that this whole investigation and him being the detective, it's not so much that he's hallucinating as much as it's the hospital trying to help him.
Yeah, get to the how they're all of, in on yeah. it. That was profound. It was like the ultimate.
That was the ultimate.
The ultimate
twist.
Experiment.
Yeah.
Of the yeah. of him and
to try and help him
to
come
cure
to, terms
to,
with it.
To truly
yeah.
cure him, and yeah. all along, but that one little line, it's like it's kind of. A slap in the face, like, or did he know about it all along?
Yeah, that's why there's so much controversy to the ending.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to get off topic, but Elizabeth Banks is also in that Baxter movie.
Huh.
Everything is connected.
It is.
Everything is connected,
especially in the film.
The big one. Oh, totally. Yeah.
I really like Ben Kingsley's role in this too.
Mm-hmm.
Where the whole, like, that gun scene, you know, where, like, he's just talking about, this is my gun, I know, it's dented, and he shoots him, and then he just breaks the gun because it's a toy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because you find out, you know, Mark Ruffalo is not his partner. He's a
psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was crazy. When he traps him in the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
The pinnacle moment of the entire film.
Yes. I love pinnacle moments in movies.
Me too. Mm-hmm. It really, even the movie Psycho, the entire pinnacle point of the film is that detective at the end explaining the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, and it just kind of...
The Alfred Hitchcock
kind of like,
Psycho?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Explaining.
Okay. It's kind of like exposition on a silver platter.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same way, you've been wondering the entire film. It's nice when it kind of wraps up at mm-hmm. the end because you get that closure and that resolution.
And it doesn't feel like exposition.
It doesn't. Yeah. It feels like, oh, that explains it. And they don't make it mm-hmm. like that as much with the little hints and clues that they throw in. It kind of just like, mm-hmm. you're kind of just like making your way through a really thick bush,
mm-hmm.
tree, forest. Mm-hmm. And you
shrubbery.
Find the clearing and it's like, oh, the path is right there. It was on the path all along.
The reason why I like pinnacle moments is because I built up like my own theories of it, and then once those pinnacle moments hit, it's like, oh shit, I was either really right or really wrong.
Mm-hmm. I know, it no matter what, you're satisfied, because if you're really wrong, you're like, oh my gosh. And if you're really right, then you're like, huh. Like, I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's one that really threw me off that I was angry about being wrong about was The Forest.
The movie The Forest?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It's like a horror movie that's based on this whole Japanese forest.
Magari from Game of Thrones.
Marjorie,
yeah.
Magari.
People, I always hear people make fun of her name and call her Magari, so I've gotten into the habit of calling her Magari.
I'm trying to think of her actual
name. It was not
name.
A good movie. In the pinnacle like moment revealing what I thought was...
I don't think that any of these three movies that we're covering you could possibly know the way it ends.
Oh, no, that's why it's
it
great.
It would be
mindfuck.
A purely, like, way wild, off-the-cuff guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I love how they keep you so secluded in the dark like that, so subtly but so effectively until the very end. It's like, bam! That's why it's never, ever good to know the end of movies before you watch them.
Yeah, going back to the whole trailer reveal.
Yeah. I like that feeling.
Yeah. I also really like Jackie Earl Henry in this movie.
Haley,
sorry. don't know why I said Henry. I really like... get that out.
Remind me who the character is again.
He played George Noyce. There's that scene where he's behind the bars and he's telling them to remember, otherwise she's going to kill him, and then you see his wife behind him.
Huh. It's been a while since I've seen this movie, to be perfectly honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember big important parts, and
I
did brush up. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Who was...
Oh, yeah, he was the... Didn't he come off as deranged in the film, but he ended up being dead on balls accurate?
Yeah.
Seems to happen. It's those guys you want to pay attention to. Kind of like Silence of the Lambs, Anthony.
Yep.
Anthony Hopkins played that.
Ooh, yeah.
Played that character. Such a good film. I love Anthony Hopkins. He's great.
He kind of creeps me out since Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, man.
Like
he's definitely one of my, I would say, one of my favorites. One of my, not idols, but like, you know, your, that phrase.
Inspiration.
Yeah.
Kind of
like.
I get what you're going for.
Yeah.
I can't think of it either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. Someone you admire.
Yeah, just one of my favorite all-time actors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, he's great in everything.
Yeah.
Is that World's Fastest Indian?
He's effortless.
Really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always. But so is Leo, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Leo's very effortless. He's very into it. He's very connected the entire film, and you just see it in his face, and I love that.
Oh, yeah, that's why I love this movie so much. It's just the intensity. You can see it in his face so much. You really think, like, he's fucked up, and he's, like, trying to wonder, like, what's going on, and confused. He plays confused and agitated really well.
Mm-hmm.
Simultaneously.
Yeah.
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 He does that in a lot of movies, too.
He does. Yeah. He's always getting through some sort of inner turmoil of some kind in all of his films.
He's kind of like Clint Eastwood in that way. He's always... you know he's on a mission and he's doing it for good, but he always just seems really irritated to be where he is.
Yeah. That reminds me of this meme I saw today at work. It was Pokemon Go, and then it shows Clint Eastwood like, "Get off my lawn."
Yeah.
Love it.
That's how I feel with some of the kids that I've come over onto my lawn.
Yeah.
Playing Pokemon Go.
This is my Pokemon. Get away.
I'm just like, hey. You do not have permission for this.
Well,
if anybody's going to catch Pokemon on my front lawn,
I don't care what Pokemon it is.
Yeah.
Wait. Did you just say Rare Charizard? Out. Everybody out.
And I always call a partial Marshall an Eastwood. Yeah. It's my funny nickname for it, because you know what a partial marshal is?
No.
A semi.
Like the truck semi? No.
Okay, so a semi and a partial marshal is a half erection.
I was about to say, is it the same thing as half mast?
Yes. So I always call it an Eastwood instead of a semi, because Clint Eastwood's always half cocked, ready to go.
Yeah. Clever.
Gotta be half cocked. It's faster to get full cocked from
the
half
old
cocked.
Eastwood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my god. So many things. Now I can't remember what I was going to say.
I think we've all lost the point of how this conversation got to where it
happens. I really, really love the final reveal of the whole, you know, him having to kill his wife because
that final scene. That final scene is so. Wasn't that like his last like happy moment that he had with her or something like that was the last scene?
Kind of, but it was kind of really dark and distorted too, because I mean there's that part where he's like with her and she's like, just let me go, and then kind of crumbles away. That part's really disturbing.
Oh yeah.
But there's also the part where it's the reveal of like, you know, the kids are laying on the ground and
then he had to go fish the kids out of the water.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I could not imagine that experience.
I remember actually feeling physically sick during that scene because I just could not imagine what that would be like in real life.
Well, there's that scene too where she's talking about, you know, they're laying on the ground and he's like asking her why did she do it, and she's talking about having them be like living dolls, and then he's just like, don't say another word. If you love me, don't say another word. And then she just says, you know, free me, release me. And when
I really do not remember that.
You
like,
don't?
I remember her, because the wife was crazy. The wife had some issues going on, which is why she killed the kids. And from what I remember her saying is, after he pulls them out of the water, is she's just like, they're just sleeping, they'll be awake. And like, because she like doesn't, I feel like she didn't really understand
the
full
mentally
capacity
grasp,
of what she did.
She didn't really understand that they really are gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't there like an unrated version of this movie?
I think that there is an alternate
maybe
ending.
That's,
I feel like that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the one you saw.
Maybe. Yeah. But there's that whole thing too where like Ben Kingsley's showing him pictures of his dead kids and he's just trying to like, he's struggling to like remember it because he's fighting that alternate fake persona he's created for himself to help cope with it.
Yeah.
Which I do like, I love a lot of movies like that where people have created this alternate reality to cope with things.
Mm-hmm. It really, life is all about coping, and I mean, to really be that traumatized by something, to actually create, I mean, they say, you know, you tell a lie so much it becomes the truth, and I feel like, you know, people really can convince themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Of things.
Yeah.
If they try hard enough. I mean, mind over matter.
Mm-hmm.
This is, oddly enough, is the only movie between Scorsese and Leo that did not receive an Oscar nomination. They failed to receive any.
Failed to receive any what?
Any Oscar nominations.
Oh. Shutter Island?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, horror movies and thriller movies.
Psychological thrillers
really
aren't as much. Although Inception, didn't that get nominated for a couple?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah, I feel like it's maybe a movie that like
they're
people,
very few and far between.
Yeah, and I mean maybe like people got the wrong idea or like that, because I definitely had that when I did not think Shutter Island was going to be the type of movie that it was.
Yeah.
Just like right before I saw it, I was like, I didn't know what to expect, but I was like, oh, okay, it's probably about an island, and I don't know.
Yeah, it's
happens,
one of those,
and
like, I had to, like, see a couple more things and hear how people thought about it before I wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, before deciding to make Shutter Island, they originally were going to make Wolf of Wall Street.
Hmm.
However, financing did not work for Wolf of Wall Street at the time, so they decided to go with this one.
So they were both in the works of being made around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. A little fun fact.
Yeah.
Of just how long a production really can take.
Yeah. Well, to give his actors an idea of how his film would be stylistically, Scorsese actually screened Out of the Past and Vertigo for his cast and crew. To kind of give them more of that, you know, aspect. Which is nice. I always like how actors research roles.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
So, you know, sometimes they'll go to old films. Sometimes they'll kind of go with a more realistic touch of it. But I like that he takes that approach as a director to do that for his cast and crew, though.
Now, remind me. Now, tell me again what he does then. He gives them Vertigo?
He screened Out of the Past in Vertigo.
The movie Vertigo that Alfred Hitchcock made.
Oh, he screened.
Yeah.
Screened Out of the Past, which was one movie, and Vertigo, which was another. I see. Yes. Okay. Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
So, before settling on Mark Ruffalo for the role of Chuck Owl, Leonardo DiCaprio and Scorsese also considered Robert Downey Jr. and Josh Brolin.
Well, there you go.
Kind of feel
both
like Josh.
Good choices.
Oh yeah, I kind of feel Josh Brolin would be really well with this.
Josh Brolin. I'm trying to remember who he is.
He was in Goonies. He was also in Men in Black 3.
Who's the guy they show at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy?
Thanos.
Oh, Thanos. He's Thanos.
Yeah.
Okay. Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did you see Hail Caesar or No Country for Old Men?
I have not.
Oh,
he's in both
Caesar.
Of those.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
So I thought this was kind of adorable, but Mark Ruffalo won the role of Chuck after sending Scorsese a fan letter saying how much he wanted to work with him.
Aww.
I like that.
Scorsese was like, hey, man, I'll make your dream come true.
I like that. Even though
no
matter how famous people get, they're still fans of things.
Totally.
Which,
you know, and also, in Scorsese's position, for him to, you know, for him to really want to do that for him, just to fulfill his you know, fandom of his work. I love that. I love when celebrities give back, you know, and when people that so many people look up to and the people that inspire many, many people when they choose to give back in that sort of way. It's awesome.
Yeah,
and there's a few like
Scorsese
actors.
Scorsese gained some brownie points there.
There's a few actors who have actually gotten roles like that because they've been such huge fans of like a writer or director that they've gotten.
God, don't you wish it worked that way with everybody?
Right.
God, if only.
So
unfortunately, flattery doesn't go too far.
Yeah.
Come on, Kevin Smith. I will write a 30-page fan letter to you. If I can work.
There's too much internet. People have the attention span of like 2 seconds. Especially
in
LA.
I'll hashtag it.
Hashtag fast pace. Hashtag work hard, play hard.
Hashtag fanboy too much. Hashtag samesies.
Hashtag. I actually saw a meme that was
gross.
Hashtag and it was two hash browns playing tag.
Nice.
It's hilarious.
I like that.
I feel like that should be a T-Fury shirt.
It was adorable.
So, of course, you being a past guest, you know at the end of this episodes that we do, we like to have everybody pick their favorite, and you are our esteemed guest. So,
pick favorite of the three?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to have to go with, because I am a little biased. A tough call because I'm a biased. I'm partial to Leo and I'm also partial to Christian Bale. But I think as far as movies that were memorable, I would definitely have to go for The Machinist.
Okay.
I feel like he really just took that to much further than I think most actors would. You know, that's a lot of weight to lose, and I feel like that. It also connected him even further to the role, being that he really was in that position. And
oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Awesome. Quincy, how about you?
I'm going to have to go with The Machinist as well, just because I think it's such a great movie, and I love the cinematography, I love the writing, I love the music.
Oh, yeah.
Because the music is really... I know the composer got inspiration off of the man who frequently did the music for Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Oh, that's yeah.
Awesome. That's right.
And yeah, and I can't remember what that instrument is called, but the Sheldon, world. Yeah, Sheldon, and Sheldon used it on the Big Bang Theory.
Oof, yeah.
It's really cool. Oh, I think
it's got
really,
an interesting name.
Yeah. And for a low budget movie and like the look of it, you wouldn't expect the music.
I think, yeah, especially the scene when they're in the Route 666 ride.
Mm-hmm.
That's a terrifying ride.
Right.
That was like, and that, I mean, that was probably not really that much to like mm-hmm. build that scene and mm-hmm. that set and all that. And it really like, and they turned up that instrument high during that part. And it's just kind of, I don't know, it was done really well. I think, they really did a good job tying the music and the scoring in with that, with the moments of that movie.
Yeah.
It is called a theremin.
Yeah. Theremin.
Theremin.
Yes.
Yes.
It is
wave your hand.
Technically and acting wise, it's just such a, it's such a beautifully done movie.
Sure. Oh, plus the filters they used in that movie. Ugh. Don't even get me started. I'm a really big fan of filters in some movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
Love the filtering in that movie.
I really was impressed with the filter and the complete 100% cool tones of The Ring as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They really capitalized on the cool tones. And I didn't notice that, actually, when I first watched it. I was just through the whole movie, you're like, this is creepy as fuck, and I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And that mixed with the music, they just really... Talking about tones, I was just thinking about that the other day. That's why I was like, man, color and sound have a lot really set apart the difference between a really good made film and a mm-hmm. B-movie piece of shit.
Oh,
they play a much bigger part than a lot of people give it,
they
give
do.
It credit for.
They connect to all, connecting to more of your senses at once definitely give a more shocking experience.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure. I am going to have to say Shutter Island.
That was a close second. Yeah. That was quite a close second.
Well, I'm a really big Scorsese fan. Mm-hmm. I love when those two work together. But it's just, I feel like a lot of the subplot of things going on in that movie, but also I feel like the reveal to me was a lot bigger in this movie than most.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I could see that.
Of the other two?
Yeah. I definitely, it was a tough call because there were much more horrific scenes in that, as well as the reveal, is much, much more devastating.
Yeah.
Well, scared the shit out of me.
What was that?
Ooh. It was a spring. Oh. Fuck.
There's something you don't see every day.
I'm very jumpy now. Talking about scary reveals, and then the spring popped. I don't even know. Oh, yeah. So, I felt like it had a lot to do with the subplot of that movie as well as just the reveal.
Mm-hmm.
But plus, like I said, Scorsese and Leo Departed, since you mentioned you have not watched that movie.
I need to see that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's definitely a must-see.
Oh, for sure. Also, things to must-see, where can people find you on social media? Follow all the great stuff you're doing.
Yeah, no, if you just Facebook Devin, Deven.
Mm-hmm.
Sky, Skye.
Mm-hmm.
I have an official page, and I have a more personal page. And
awesome.
My Instagram's devin.sky. That's pretty much the only three outlets that I update on.
Nice.
But a ton of things. You know, I'm tagged in stuff constantly from Jay with everything with Brio. And then, I don't know, I just try to, you know, I try to continuously update my life diary.
Nice.
Of just... memories. I definitely find myself taking a lot more pictures now than I ever used to in my life, which I don't regret
mm-hmm.
because pictures do last, you know, a picture lasts a lifetime and it, you know, memories are forever and it's nice. I use a lot of imagery. I'm a very like visual person anyways.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, pictures are significant.
Yeah.
And sound and music and totally.
Absolutely.
Nice. Yep. Well, and then definitely let us know with the album stuff, too. Love to hear more about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And keep us posted, so I'm sure the listeners would also love to hear that as well.
Definitely, definitely.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming back. It was good to have you back.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. You guys are awesome. I always love coming here talking about movies. Such a movie buff.
Of course, you guys can follow us on facebook.com/trustyournerds, on Twitter @trustyournerds, and if you have a recommendation for a movie or a theme, trustyourmovienerds@gmail.com. Also, we revealed this last week, coasters. We have merch now. Quincy, what do you think of the merch?
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
The first I've been seeing of it. I don't think you actually told me that we were getting coasters.
I wanted it to be a surprise.
Oh, nice.
You know, not only for you, but also for our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So look for that on our like page as well as our Twitter for how to purchase those. There's going to be three different variations. There's going to be the plain circular, the more elaborate circular one, and then the square one. And we'll be offering some bundle deals and stuff with that. So keep a lookout. Once this episode is released, you will be able to see that on there and message us on how to purchase it.
Stop fucking up your wood tables and use coasters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, you know, you set your drink down and you're like, oh shit, I should get drunk and watch a movie. And then also listen to this great podcast.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the
you
genius.
You need the coaster to do that.
It's genius.
It's important.
Yeah. Yes. It's subliminal messaging.
It's the icing
drinking.
On the cake.
Yeah. It's a very elaborate plan that I had. I'm like, what would be good merch? And I'm like, oh shit, I need a coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh shit.
As you're taking a drink of your beer, what would be good? Oh my goodness, I don't have any coasters.
Yeah.
Ka-ching! Light bulb.
Everybody needs coasters.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
But they're really great. I had a buddy of mine make them. They're wood. They're laser engraved. So showed some pictures of that last week on our social media. But you guys will be able to buy them now. So look for that as well. And once again, want to thank Devin Sky for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's been a fun ride.
Nice. I've been your host, Christopher James.
I'm Quincy Staker.
Good night, everybody.